Passing the test. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. We do believe the word's good. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. You know, if you'll worship him like that at home, it'll usher in the presence of God in your house. Amen. And, you know, just praise him. There's such a power of praise. That's why I believe the devil fights it. He fights things hard that hurt him. You know, he fights the faith message. He fights speaking in tongues. He fights praising out loud. Why? Because that stuff drives him back. Amen? Praise God. I want to encourage people to be giving me testimonies of things that happen here, because testimonies, they build everybody's faith, you know. And Michelle, he gave me a good testimony. We last Wednesday, right? Remember the Spirit of God dropped in my heart that people were seeing spots? Well, she said, you've had them since high school, and they're gone. How quick did they go away after the service? Was it right after the service in the morning? When was it? Right after. And he's had them since high school. That's amazing, you know, how pinpoint accurate the Spirit of God is, you know. And then I had gentleman Sean, he was here from Olean. He's been seeing spots, said for about 5 years, almost like he said, it's almost like I've been looking in the sun all the time, you know, just bright spots. And he told me last night in Olean that when he was here on Wednesday night, that they're gone too. And he just was so overwhelmed by it, because his background, you know, he's come from a church like this, you know, and didn't think these things possibly, you know. He didn't know they were possible. He believed it, but didn't know, you know. Just healed. So if anything, any testimonies you get, any financial breakthroughs, anything we pray for, anything happen, boy, let us know. So we need to brag on Jesus, amen? We need to be telling what God's doing for us. So let me know. Shoot me a text. Give me a call. Send me an email. Write it on a blue card. However you want to do it. We'll be sharing those things as long as you give me permission to do so. Amen? Amen. Well, everybody say this. Say, God's word.
God's word
is God speaking to me.
Speaking to me.
One more time. God's word. Is God speaking to me? You got
to
make it personal, don't you?
Amen.
When you make it personal, you believe it's a love letter from Him. Hallelujah. You know, when somebody in a family member passes away or something, they leave you a will, you know, you don't dispute that your name's on there. When the lawyers show it to you and they say, hey, that's Michael Anderson. I know that guy. That's me. I'm not going to dispute that. I'll take that. Praise God. Well, this is a love letter to you from Him. Amen. I mean, I just think this is, I believe y'all can get in on it, but I believe He wrote this just for me. I mean, but I'll let you all in on my will too. Amen? Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's just how personal I take it. But let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful for your word. So grateful, so thankful for what you've already done in this service. Father, we thank you. Pain must go. Pain is not allowed to stay on the child of God's body. It's trespassing. It doesn't belong there. So, Father, we thank you. You're the healer. And Father, help us tonight to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done. Father, we'll always give you the praise. We'll always give you the glory. We'll always make sure that the light gets pointed to you, Father. Not the man, not a woman, Father. Not the name of the building or the name of the church or the ministry. But Father, we're always pointing it back to you in the word. Because Father, without you, we're nothing. And Lord, I know I say that to you all the time. And Father, it's good for me to let the people know too that, Father, I know that I'm nothing without you. I'm just a branch. You're the vine, Father. I need to be connected to you in order to prosper, in order to do anything good. So, Father, anything good that comes from me, Father, it's all because of you. So, Lord, we give you the praise and you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. And then we're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, just real fast. It says, now you, talking to Christians, are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, that's just a few books over from 1 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the Bible says that in two places here that we're the body of Christ, but it points out here that he's the head, right? We're the body of Christ, but he's the head. Hallelujah. And the problem with that at times, that can be a good thing if it's working right. But the problem with that is that the head can want to do something, but the body can shut it down. Amen. The head can, I know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, during turkey season, when it gets later in the season, man, you're getting up at between 3:30 to get to some of your spots, and your mind might have good intentions, but your body can shut that plan down real fast. Amen. You know, and so he's the head, we're the body. And it's kind of the thing about this, you know, how problematic that can be. I used to have a reoccurring dream. I'm so glad I don't have this one anymore. But the reoccurring dream I would have would be I'd be on a baseball field, and I wouldn't be able to move. I'd be very, it's almost like I was super lethargic or I was in quicksand. The ball would be hit to me, and in my mind, I know I can get to that ball, or I could turn that double play, or I'm in the batter's box, you know, and a pitch comes. I know I can hit this pitcher. And man, I'm swinging way later. The bat just feels so heavy, or my body's just moving so slow in my dream. I don't know if you've ever had that dream. That and the underwear in school dream I used to have all the time. I was glad that one's over too. Praise God. I've been delivered from these things. Praise God. I've been delivered. Anyways, I have that dream all the time, and it was so frustrating because your mind is telling you, I can do that. I can do that. But you can't unless your body cooperates. You know, there's a disease that's sad, and it gets its name actually from a baseball player, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a, you know, a terrible disease, and in that disease, you know, a lot of times what it'll affect, there's a gentleman, too, that used to play for the New Orleans Saints. His name is Steve Gleason, and he's got that. You know, he's, you know, Stephen Hawking, you heard of him, he's the scientist. He, you know, very brilliant. I don't agree with everything he says, you know, especially concerning creation and stuff, but, you know, He's naturally, you know, smart in a lot of ways, but very ignorant towards the things of God. But, you know, he's the same way. He's got this disease. His mind is, works just fine, and Steve Gleason's mind works just fine, but the body doesn't cooperate. And it's sad. It's super frustrating. And, you know, a lot of times, that's what the body of Christ suffers from. It's just trying to... putting that disease down. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying that's kind of the same characteristics of that disease. The body of Christ suffers. What do I mean? Well, Jesus wants to do something as the head, but he needs his body to cooperate. And the head can want to do something and have good intentions and know what needs to be done, but the body can shut that down. And we want to make sure that we're not frustrating the head. Amen? How frustrating it is in that dream in my mind to not be able to do what I know I can do or what I think I can do, yet my body's not cooperating. Well, we don't want to frustrate the head, which is Jesus. Now, go with me to, we're going to look at a few places that they're very familiar, but I want to show you because we want to do what the head wants to do, or we should say it this way, we want to carry out the will of what the head would want. Amen, which is Jesus. We want to carry out Jesus' will on the earth because we're his body. Again, it's just like my head can say, man, that water looks good. I want that water. But my head can say that all I want until my body takes me to that water, opens that water up, does what you need to do to drink it. It's not going to matter what the head wants. Well, Jesus is endeavoring to do things on the earth. But ladies and gentlemen, he needs us. You know, that's why I try to make this so clear. This is not a one-man show around here. If it's ever come off that way, my goodness, I apologize if I've ever seemed pompous or arrogant. I certainly know who I am and who I am without Jesus. And I know that this can't be done with just one person. That without the whole collective body doing all, you know, serving and praying and giving, well, this thing will get shut down, you know. And when I said that tonight, how this service turns out has way more to do with you than it does me and God. That wasn't an accusation against you. That was actually lifting you up, saying, listen, you're vital. You're important in this. You say, well, is that true? Well, we saw the people shut down a service Jesus had in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, the Bible said Jesus, the Son of God, who wherever he went, you know, he did great things. He did miracles, signs, and wonders. He was a mighty man of God, but yet in his own hometown, the Bible says he couldn't do anything there. Well, did God change? No, we know God doesn't change. Did Jesus have an off day? Maybe he had too much pizza that day or, you know, didn't set himself aside for that service and just, you know, laid around poolside and drank lemonade all day? No, he was ready to go, but the Bible says he marveled at the unbelief of the people. So the people shut it down. What am I saying? The people are important. Ladies and gentlemen, we're important in God's plan. Why? We're his body. We carry out the will of God. Well, we need to find out one of his wills, and I'm going to tell you what his greatest will on the earth is. It's found in John 3:16. John 3:16, of course we know this verse, but I like turning in the Word at times. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," excuse me, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So what's the will of God? Well, the will of God was that He gave His Son so that everybody could not perish. He gave His Son so everybody could walk eternal life. So you could say it this way: the will of the Father, or the will of the head in this body, is that everybody accept Jesus, that everybody get born again. Now go with me to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We don't build a doctrine off of one scripture, but 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing," see, He's not willing, "that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Praise God. Don't ever let this idea of predestination and Calvinism, whatever all that good goofy stuff is, that says God's got certain elect that can get born again. No, God's will, He's not willing that any should perish. That means His will is that He wants all to repent and come to Jesus. Amen. That's the will and of God. That's the main reason He gave His Son. Now go to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Let's flip back a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Again, we're just trying to point out what the will of God is, what the will of the head would be. Because once we find out, because not only is He the head and gives orders, we're servants of His. We're obedient to Him, right? That we have to follow His plan, praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Who will," in verse 3 it talked about God, so he's talking about God will, "have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Isn't He so merciful? All men. The worst person on planet Earth right now, God is not willing that they should perish. God wants them born again, praise God. I mean, we saw that in Saul. He was as low as you get. God wanted him to repent, praise God. So the Bible says that the will of the head, or the will of Jesus, who's the Father, who is just a part of the Father, is that everybody would get born again. That would probably have to be the number one will of the head, don't you think? That everybody would get born again, that everybody would get saved, because God knows the reality of people that don't and the reality of people that do. And He wouldn't have paid, the first and foremost blessing of redemption was salvation. We know healing comes with the package. We know supernatural protection and prosperity and peace and freedom from emotional and mental distress come with the package. But number one, first and foremost, salvation is greater than healing. Salvation is greater than prosperity. Now, we don't have to pick and choose, thank God, but it's greater. So you could say that the number one will of God before everybody on earth walks in health would be that everybody on earth walk in salvation. Before everybody on earth walk in prosperity, everybody on earth would walk in salvation before that. So that's the number one will of God. Now go with me to Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. And here's the awesome thing that God did. He said, "I want everybody to be saved so they don't have to go to hell, they don't have to perish, they can go to heaven." He made it simple. Praise God. Aren't you glad God made it simple? He said, here's how you do it. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the requirements. That's the qualifications to get into heaven, calling on His name. Now, we always say there's two qualifications, believing in Him and receiving Him. Well, if you're calling on the name of the Lord, you're certainly believing in Him. And if you're calling on His name, you're certainly receiving Him. Amen? But look how simple God made it for the whole world to get to Him. That, to me, displays His mercy. That, to me, displays His goodness. That, you know, religion teaches you got to go through hoops, you got to go do religious backflips, you got to take classes, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. No, all you have to do to be accepted is call on His name. That's simple enough, praise God. But as simple as it is, there's still an equation that needs to be walked out for that to happen. You know, what I found out is that I'm not good with plants and things like that and, growing things. But when we had our pool installed, they dug up the yard and did things. And I actually took it upon myself to be brave and plant my own grass seed. You know, they had messed up the area, and I went there in a certain area, and I raked it out a little bit, you know, and threw some fresh topsoil there, and then threw some seed down, and then threw some hay down, and then watered it very faithfully in the morning before the sun came up, and in the evening watered it, and grass grew. Amen. It was simple. I was shy. I said, wow, I grew grass. But it must not be hard if I did it. So I did. But my point is that it's a simple, but there was an equation that needed to be walked out.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't just get the grass because you wanted the grass. Even though growing grass is simple, it didn't just happen without an equation. Right? The putting down a topsoil, throwing down a seed, the laying of hay over top of it, the watering of it, being diligent to do it. There was still an equation, even though it was simple. Well, calling the name of the Lord is simple, but there's still an equation. The equation is found in verse 14. I said, what the heck are you talking about tonight? Well, just hold on. We'll get there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then? So he said in the verse 13, he said, it's simple to get saved, which is the head's will for every single person. But he says, how then shall they call on him? Because remember, if all you have to do is call on his name and you get born again, that means the worst sinner in the world, they're one call away from going to heaven. They're one call away from having a new nature come on the inside of them. That's why we ought not be judgmental. That's how close they are to being where we are. Amen? I remember ministers saying they were in an elevator with somebody, and this person just had a horrible mouth, you know, and they just stood there in indignation and their righteousness. Just how could they talk like that? And the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, the only difference between them and you is me. The only difference between that, and I'm here to tell you, I was on that side. The only thing that was different was God came into me. So the worst sinner in the world, the person that's struggling, the person that's off doing their own thing, they're just one call away from everything changing in their life. Amen? Praise God, that's exciting. But he says, even though it's simple, even though planting grass is simple, I still had to walk out some steps. Even though that's simple, people don't just arrive at salvation. There's an equation that takes place. How then shall they call, which is the easy requirement to get in, how shall they call if they haven't believed? That's a good question. I didn't call on the Lord until I believed in him, until I knew there was someone to call on, until I knew what he had, so I had to believe in him. But then it says, and then even backs up even further, it says, but how are they going to believe if they've never heard? And that's true. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's why it says faith comes by hearing, right? When you hear healing, you have faith for healing. But you didn't have faith for biblical healing until you first heard it. You didn't have faith for biblical prosperity until you first heard it. Just the same way, you didn't have faith for salvation until you first heard it. Once you heard it, then you believed. Once you believed, you were then able to make the call. Amen? But then it even backs up even further. It says, how will they believe if they've not heard? So if you got to hear something, someone's got to do some talking to start the process. How then shall they hear without a preacher? Or you could say it this way, without a proclaimer. How will somebody... So the process... Go back to Romans 10 and verse 13, Michaela, please. She's back there. She is back there. Yay. Praise the Lord. I thought she was doing the David Copperfield on me. Disappeared that. Praise the Lord. Romans 10 and verse 13. How shall they call upon the... For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple enough. Simple enough, right? But how shall they call, verse 14, if they've not believed? How shall they not believe if they've not heard? And how shall they not hear without a preacher? So the beginning part to growing grass is getting the ground ready. The beginning part of getting someone to call on the name of the Lord, right, starts with a willing participant, a willing person that's willing to open their mouth and preach something. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to James chapter 5 and verse 7. We're getting to our part here in the body of Christ. Because remember, The will of the head is that everybody be born again, that everybody be saved. How does someone get saved? They call on the name of the Lord. But how can they call if they've not heard? How can they, if they have not believed? How can they believe if they've not heard? And how can they hear unless somebody says it or tells it? Amen? So that's the will of the head. Now go to James chapter 5 and verse 7. James is after the book of Hebrews. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth," now notice this, "for the precious fruit of the earth, until he receive," and has long patience for it, "until he receive the early and latter rain." But the Bible's talking about Jesus being the husbandman. We're the bride, he's the husband. That's one case. When it comes to Jesus coming back, I'm transgender. I become a bride when Jesus. That's the only time. Amen. I just praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to go to my church? This is the eloquent church here, the educated. You know.
Praise God.
Oh, how do you recover from that? But praise the Lord. That's the only time you call me a bride. Although I was a bridesmaid one time. But I didn't have to wear a dress. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you want to know the story, come see me in private sometime. We'll talk. "But be patient, therefore, brethren, of the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." He's not waiting for the cherries. He's not waiting for the bananas. The precious fruit he's talking about is people. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to be picked. Well, guess what? You know, Jim and Sue will tell you, acres and acres of grapes that grow on vines, they don't just pick themselves. They grow, and to get blessed from them, to get the juice from them, to get them into your table, to get them into your belly ultimately, they have to get picked off the vine. They don't just pop off the vine and become juice. They don't just pop off the vine and become jelly. They don't just pop off the vine and become snacks for people. Somebody's got to pick them. There has to be a picking process. Well, it's the same thing. The precious fruit of the earth has to be picked. The precious fruit of the earth, there has to be some labor involved for the precious fruit of the earth. Well, guess who's going to have to be the people that are down here getting that precious fruit of the earth? Because Jesus is not walking the planet anymore, but he is through us. The body, praise God. So we're going to hit some things here for just a little bit. Go to Mark 16. Hallelujah. Fruit doesn't just pick itself. In fact, fruit that's waiting to be picked, if it never, if cherries aren't picked, they don't just stay good for years and years and years, do they? I mean, they go bad, don't they, eventually? If grapes just don't get picked, don't they end up withering away? I mean, then no one enjoys them. Well, it's the same thing. If people don't do things down here, there's fruit that's ready to be picked, but doesn't get picked. Ready to enjoy the fruits of that, but just doesn't get picked. Where did I say to go? Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. I believe it's over there in verse 15. It is. So remember, the number one will of the head, which is Jesus, is that the world be born again. That the world get saved. And we're the body, and we've seen that people cannot get saved till they first believed, but before they believe, they got to hear. Before they hear, somebody's got to talk. And we know it's not going to be Jesus, and it's not going to be God, because they are not here anymore. But the body of Christ, the arms, the legs, and the feet, we're still here. And he tells us in Mark 16, now does the Bible tell us that the doer of the word is blessed in their deed, doesn't it? That's what the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said those that do the word are the wise ones. Well, I don't understand why we haven't taken this admonition, this declaration from Jesus, the most serious of anything that he's ever said out of his mouth. This should be the thing that we put at the top of the list. Why? Heaven and hell depends on it.
That's good. Amen.
Amen? Amen. The head now. We already know his will, number one, is that everybody get born again. Once people get born again, his number one will for his children is that they would grow. We can show you that in a second. But look what he says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, remember the thing said, how shall they call if they haven't believed? How will they believe if they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, the Bible says here, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, before you push this off onto being my responsibility, because we see that word preacher, and you think, okay, I'm disqualified from this. I'm not a preacher. You are a preacher. Because that word just means to publish. That word just means to proclaim. And ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. If you're waiting for the pastors to do all of this, well, let's just be honest in your own life. There's people in your own life, in your own circle, I'll never meet ever. I'll never come across, I might not ever sit at your Thanksgiving dinner and meet grandma so-and-so or grandpa so-and-so or uncle or cousin so-and-so or at your job meet coworker so-and-so, but you're there, praise God. This word preach means to just proclaim. And we know he's talking about all the world and everybody because the disciples never made it to South Dayton. The disciples never made it to Cattaraugus. The disciples never made it to Forestville. The disciples never made it to Fredonia. They never made it to Silver Creek. They never made it here, but we made it here. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus is telling his body, because his will on the earth would be what? Telling people about himself. That would be his will, go into all the world. But he can't do it because he's just the head. He needs his body to do it. But he's in a better position if the body obeys, because now there's many of him rather than just one of him when he was on the earth. But he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the body of Christ's job to be telling people about Jesus. Amen. And again, don't just think it's the preacher. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? So they could do everything in the ministry. No. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Well, the number one work of the ministry ought to be to bring more people into the family. Don't you think? Don't you agree? Praise God. I mean, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody is getting born again. I mean, that trumps everything, doesn't it? Well, the Bible says that you're to do the work of the ministry. You are the hands and the feet, praise God. Now go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. I just want to show you something because we're going to tie talking to people about Jesus. But also there's people that already know Jesus, but they don't have a church. And Jesus' second will after people would be born again would to be planted and to grow. Why? Because once his children are in the family, he doesn't want them to be orphaned. He doesn't want them to starve. Once a baby's born, then, the first thing you start doing for a brand new baby, the birth is the big thing, but once the baby's born and the birth is over, you immediately start caring for that baby. Amen? And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, he's saying when you get newly born again, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Many people have gotten born again and stay babies their whole life spiritually. Why is that a problem? Because you won't walk into everything that God has for you. You won't be able to do your part, fulfill your call. So I'm tying these two things in. As the body of Christ, we have a job to carry out the head's will. And the head's will, number one, is that we would preach the gospel so that people could eventually, in the equation, call on the name of the Lord. And then from that point on, people that are in our lives that maybe are Christians, but they're baby Christians, they're not getting fed the word, tell them about a place where they can come and hear the word, which would be here. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a job to do. The most important job, we are the link between people and Jesus. Because remember, see, no, Jesus is a link to heaven. But wait a minute, they first need to hear somebody preaching it before the process of calling on the name of the Lord can even get started. I'm passionate about this. I've led many people to Jesus before I ever was a pastor. I've invited many people. I mean, I can tell you the people that I invited to the James Center, some of the most faithful people that are serving there now came as a result of me reaching out to them and telling them there's a good church. Come and hear the word. And they got faithful and their lives changed. All the glory to God. He gave the increase. But I'm standing before you today, preaching to you, helping you, as a result of somebody being the body of Christ and carrying out God's will. Amen? I remember Reverend Randy Nelbone, you know, he led me to Jesus. And I remember he reached out to me, you know, we played on a summer baseball team together. And the thing he said that drew him to me was, he said I was funny. I mean, go figure, who'd have thought I was funny? I used to screw around, you know, all the time, and I just kind of, the clown, you know, and do things on the bench, and he just would watch me and think it just funny, and that drew him to me, you know, and then he got to talking to me, you know, and that was back when my life was struggling, and life was hard, and things like that, and just down and out, you know, and he invited me. I ran into him at Walmart in Fredonia after the season was over in January. And he invited me, he knew I was a hunter, and invited me out to his cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. And I went out there, and he told me about Jesus, and I got born again, praise God. But you know what, here's the thing, that night before, man, I was cussing and just being carrying on, you know, but I was just one call away from everything changing. But the call didn't happen until I believed. I didn't believe till I heard, and I didn't hear until someone preached it. How many people are waiting in the wings to become pastors, to become faithful people that are in churches, that are doing the ministry of helps, that are to be on worship teams, to be ushers, to work with children, to go on to have worldwide ministries, who know, that are just waiting for somebody to open their mouth. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm standing before you because somebody carried out the will of the head, and the head's will is that people get saved, but they got to hear about it. Amen. Pastor Tim is doing his thing, pastoring two thriving and growing churches as a result of someone doing that for him. And guess who that was? Me! The next day after I got born again, I called him. I said, Tim, he said he heard it in my voice. He said, I knew you were serious. I said, Tim, I just want to let you know I received Jesus the night before, and I'm not turning back, and this is for real. I just want you to know I'm going God's way. And I hung up the phone. He said when I got that phone call, he got off, it moved him so much, he just started weeping and gave his heart to Jesus that night, and boom, the domino effect was on, man. And now we just sit around and laugh and think God's got a sense of humor to give us two churches. I mean, someone ought to have him checked up there. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. But anyways, it didn't happen until somebody opened their mouth. Hallelujah. You know, I think at times our abundant life and all that faith can bring us makes us lazy, makes us self-absorbed, you know, and you know, all these things that we get so comfortable. You know, we acquire stuff, right? Our faith gets us vehicles. Our faith gets us homes. And we get so comfortable and so self-absorbed, our hunger just goes, it gets so dulled. There's so many dull Christians. I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying there's dull Christians. The littlest things keep them from church. Amen. There's things to be sown in the Spirit. There's people that need to be told. There's things that could be done. And people just get so caught up with their life. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when it's all over, you're going to just wish you had done it for him to the full bore. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to get my own little life, and I'm too tired to come to church after work and come into prayer after. That's just too hard for me. And I just, you know, to come to church on a Wednesday night, I just want to go home and rest. Come, I seriously, so dull. Yet hungry people, they just want to be in the house of God. They just want to do what God has. They just want to fulfill God's plan. Amen? Amen. It's just true. We have a lot of dull Christians. There's people dying around us going to hell, and we just want to just keep our little circle. I'm not saying specifically, I'm just saying as a whole, the body of Christ. And these things that faith and the abundant life were to bring us, which are health and wealth, they were things that were meant that God gave us for first and foremost so that we could be a successful body of Christ to go forward in health, to go forward in prosperity, to be a blessing for the head's purposes. Abundant life and prosperity, first and foremost, is always kingdom related. It wasn't first and foremost so you could be so comfortable in life. Now, that's a result of it. But we get so comfortable that we stop contending for things. And we just get so casual. I remember, Steve, you said that someone had said that casualness causes casualties. And it does. People get casual about things and begin. Oh, someone else will talk to them. Someone else will get them born again. I've mentioned it before, but can I let you in on a little window in my life of the greatest failure? One of my top failures as a Christian was not minister. Remember the gentleman by the name of Dick Winker? Mr. Winker, he's skinny, tall, old man, and man, he'd talk to you. I mean, he'd get so close to you, and you'd think you're 100 yards away. I mean, hey, Mike, isn't that how he was? I mean, he's like a cartoon character. Even his name, he's like a cartoon character. He'd just walk. He'd have his jeans would be pulled up almost to his neck, and he'd still have suspenders. I mean, it was just about the craziest thing you ever saw. He was the sweetest, sweetest man, and I'd talk to him. He had the most terrible mouth, you know, and I got a little bit inside out, knew he wasn't born again, and the Spirit of God put it on my heart to talk to him. And I just put it off and put it off. Thought somebody else will. Let fear creep in. Some of these things I'll talk about in a second. And said, I'll do it. And I remember the day that I found out that Dick Winker had died. And my heart was so grieved. Why? I missed my chance. Why? He didn't call on the name of the Lord because the equation never got started in his life. He was one call away from guaranteeing a spot in heaven, but it had to start with a preacher. How many people around us are dying and going to hell because we won't open our mouths up? How many Christians are struggling around us because we're ashamed or embarrassed to invite them to church? Come on. It's the truth. Jesus wasn't ashamed. Jesus didn't give a rip what people thought about him. Praise God. Go to Luke 16 and verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. I'd do anything to have that back. I'd go right to his house and say, Dick, I got to let you know I love you so much. God, I don't know what your background is, but God loves you so much. And you know, you don't have to, he'll take you the way you are. You don't have to change anything right now, but I'm telling you, Jesus, he died, rose again. I'd do anything to have 5 minutes with him on the earth again. Amen. One of my biggest failures ever as a Christian. Just missed it. Completely missed it. Luke 16 and verse 19. Look at this. It says, there was a certain rich man. Jesus is talking about a real thing. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You say, what is that? Well, Abraham's bosom was the holding place for all the Old Testament saints that died before Jesus had died and rose again in salvation. They were in a holding tent, also known as paradise. It was a good place. So the beggar was carried in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell. Now again, religious people say, see, if you're rich, you're going to hell. That's not how you go to hell. You go to hell by rejecting Jesus. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, what is torments? I don't know about you, but it's amazing. You know, turkey season gets warmer, and in turkey season, you do a lot of walking. And I hunt in Pennsylvania, and you do a lot of going up real steep mountains, up and down, up and down. And I'll tell you what, when I forget to bring a water with me, oh, I feel it, you know. And when I get to the truck, you just slam a 16-ounce Poland Spring like it's nothing. I mean, and then you're just looking around the truck for more. Being thirsty is a horrible thing when you can't get something to drink, isn't it? I mean, it's just a horrible thing. Now look at this. In torments, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, verse 24, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, now look at how much suffering there is, that he just may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Jesus said, if you believe in him, you won't perish. That's perishing. Suffering so much. Now, we could look at other scriptures where the Bible says hell is a place where the worm never dies, where there's gnashing, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, we could go on and look at the horrors and pictures of hell, and I won't because we have some young ears in here. But just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening to me, hell's not scary for the Christian. If you believe in Jesus, you'll never have to see it, praise God. You'll never have to experience it. God made heaven for you. But hell's a real place. He said in verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember you in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there's a great gulf fixed so that they would pass from me to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from you. He said, I pray ye therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he would testify unto them, lest they come in this place of torment. So we get a little bit of picture of hell. We see, number one, hell is the worst place imaginable. There's no relief ever. There's no relief ever. It's eternal damnation, eternal torments, and the people that are down there can see up into this realm and are wishing all the time that they could come and testify. They people that go to hell become soul winners real fast. People that have a reality of the truth of hell, let everything, they don't care about anything except just telling people here, you don't want to go to this place. And my question is to the body of Christ that sits around in their own little world, their own little cubicle in life, just comfortable with this abundant life that's given them health and wealth and their cars and their houses and their lands and all their toys and all their stuff. If we had a realization or a revelation of hell, if we could see it for 5 seconds, we would all spend the rest of our lives being soul winners. That'd be the number one thing on our list. It would. It just would. Hallelujah. And I think at times, you know, if hell is a real place, which I'm saying that, you know, we know that it is. You know, but if hell's a real place, we can't ever be the same from tonight. If hell's real, we can't walk out of here and be the same that we've been up until this point. We just can't. Amen. If people really go there because they don't call on the name of the Lord, which that's what happens, they reject. You know, first of all, God didn't create hell for people. He created it for the devil's angel. People go there when they choose to obey the devil and partner up with him. That's why they go to hell. God didn't prepare that for people. God doesn't want people to go to hell. That's why he gave you a bridge to him called Jesus. But for people to walk across that bridge, they have to hear, hey, there's a bridge over here. You don't have to fall in. But Jesus ain't crying and screaming that out. But I'll tell you what, if hell's a real place, we never will walk out of here and be the same ever again. We won't be embarrassed anymore. We won't be shy anymore. We won't be timid anymore. We won't be afraid anymore. Why? The horrors of hell, we wouldn't want anybody to go there. And I always say this, hell will offend people more than you ever can. Hallelujah. We're the body. Our job is to carry out the will of the Father, which the number one will of the Father is that people get born again. The way people get born again, first and foremost, is they have to have a preacher. Remember, how shall they? He said, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then how will they call if they've not believed? How can they believe if they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? I won't get to your Christmas dinner. I won't be able to get to your job. And ladies and gentlemen, remember this. We're the body of Christ. You might be the only Jesus that somebody ever encounters in life. Amen. I went 20 some years before I got born again, being around people that are in heaven right now who had no clue how to tell me to get there. They slammed me over the head with the Bible, how bad I was, how off I was, how far away from God I was. And here I was going on a path to hell until somebody said, oh, it'll just happen. No, no, it took 20-some years for somebody to come into my life and tell me about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, how many people around you are on that path, but they're just one call away? But before they make the call, they got to be told about it. We're the body. We're the ones that are going to do it. Amen. You say, well, we'll just wait till they go to church. If you haven't noticed, that church is not the place where sinners congregate. Have you noticed that? Hey, you know, hey, let's go to the bar on Saturday night and get sloshed and go to church on Sunday morning. Sounds like a plan. That's just not how it happens. I mean, occasionally when you invite people, the people come in, they get born again. But this is not like, church ain't the local watering hole where people are just beating the doors to come into them. Hallelujah. The sinners are outside these walls. We need to get them either in here born again or get them in here unborn again and get them born again and then grow them. But this, where are the sinners at? Where you shop? Where are the sinners at your family dinners? Where's your sinners at your jobs? Amen. Where's the sinners at? Maybe friends you grew up with and friends you still see, your school reunions, things like that. That's where the sinners are at. The people that are on their way to hell. Whew. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how, let's flip the roles. Can you imagine if you're somebody that never heard about Jesus, you go to hell. And you can see that all these people that were in your life, I worked with that person. They're in heaven. I shopped. I saw that person all the time at the store. They're in heaven. I sat at Christmas dinner with them every year, and they're in heaven. Can you imagine how awful it would be for the people when they're in hell? Why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't somebody reach out to me? It's just true reality. I know it's just stuff that hits us. It's like, man, that's a real feel good service here, but I'll tell you, it's true. So I want to help you four things real fast. Are you ready? Amen. So Pastor, what can we do? How can we be the body? Number one, are you ready? Yes. You have to get willing and consecrate yourself to Mark chapter 16. What do I mean? You have to go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Michaela, if you would please. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Just like anything with the word, we got to consecrate ourselves to it, don't we? We might not feel like it. We might not want to do it. It might not be comfortable. But we have to consecrate ourselves for it to work. Well, we got to consecrate ourselves to Mark 16. He's given us orders to go into the world. What's that mean? Your world. Your shopping places. Your family dinners. Your jobs. Wherever you are. Wherever you congregate. Wherever your life is. Go into your world and preach the gospel. You are a walking, talking missionary. You don't have to go to Africa or China to be a missionary. You already are a missionary. Your jobs are a mission field. Your shopping centers are a mission field. Your family get-togethers our mission fields. You got to first consecrate and say, Lord, sign me up. I'll do your word. I'm going to go into the world and I'm going to tell people about you. If you don't first get willing, you won't do it. Jesus, before he went to do something that was so uncomfortable, so beyond what his mind and flesh wanted to do, going to the cross, he first was found on his face in a place of consecration. To follow and to carry that out, he first had to say, Lord, I'll lay my life down for your purposes, for the greater good. We're going to have to lay down our lives, our selfishness, be it time constraints, our fears, our apprehensions, our self-consciousness, lay those down for the greater good of the will of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. So number one has a few things to it. Get willing and consecrate to Mark 16. And then part of number one is drive fear out. I truly believe every single person in here, when I was talking about the horrors of hell and how, I believe everybody was touched tonight in their heart of just a wake-up call. Like, what are we doing down here? The rat race. Just running to fulfill all our stuff. Now, Thank God for the prosperity message. Thank God we can have our needs met. Thank God we can walk in peace. But my goodness, if we're not walking in health and wealth for the purposes of doing His will, then we've missed the boat. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to walk this out, if the thought of talking to someone about Jesus, talking to somebody about your church, just gives you the heebie-jeebies, just makes you afraid to the point where it's like, I can't even open my mouth, you just start to feel that. Remember, that's not coming from heaven. That's the enemy trying to keep you in a place of not being the body of Christ. You got to not give in to fear. You have to say, fear, I reject that. I bind that fear in the name of Jesus. Fear, you have to go, glory to God. Hallelujah. So number one, get willing and consecrate to Mark 16 and drive fear out. If you're going to be a soul winner, be someone that invites people to church, praise God. I mean, even if you tell somebody about they don't receive, you can still invite them to church. Bring them to church. Be loving. Amen. Praise God. Number two, and this will help you, be led on who you minister to. Now, that doesn't mean sit around and wait for God to say, here's someone. It first means by saying, Lord, I'm willing, send someone to me or send me to somebody. Praise God. Now, you don't need the Holy Ghost to shout at you and say, this is someone to talk to me about. There's certain cues that you know that are open doors. Number one is compassion. If you know somebody that's lost and you have compassion, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion moved him. He didn't have to wait for God to say, hey, go minister to this person. No, if compassion tugged on his coat, he went that direction. Amen? If somebody, if a door opens and somebody starts talking about things and hell and heaven or eternity and things like that, and you sense an open door in your heart, walk through that door. Amen? Amen. And be sensitive to the Holy Ghost that God says, okay, there's somebody I want you to talk to. There's somebody I want you to minister to. But if you're first not willing, it won't matter what God's saying. And in fact, you probably won't get God to say much until you first become willing. I'm going to go back to what I said Monday night at prayer. Can I say something without making it an accusation? I'm not coming down on the church, but I'm just telling you what I know in my heart. The area that this church has missed it in is picking up the slack in prayer personally for the church and for my life as a whole. Certain people have run with it, but as a whole, in my spirit, I know the one thing that people that's waiting for people is there's prayer assignments to be had. But for people to be prayers, they got to lay their life down. They got to stand in the gap, they got to consecrate themselves. Amen? Amen. They got to be able to have God tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, turn the TV off and go pray for an hour. Amen. To be willing for the plan of God to go out. But what I was saying on Monday night is that there's availability to be used by God. God will be able to use you. And what the Spirit of God told me while we were praying is that there's prayer assignments that God's waiting to dole out to people. Yeah. But He only can dole them out to the people that have their hands out to say, I'll pray. Yeah. I'll do it. Well, in the same way, if you'll say to God, if you'll get serious, say, Lord, because the plan of God will not go forward without prayer. If you'll be a person that'll say, Lord, I will consecrate myself. Use me. Wake me up if you need to. Stop my TV show. Stop me at the ball game to go back in my car and pray. Whatever, whenever, wherever, however, Father. If you need me to pray, whenever, I'm willing to do it. If you'll do that, He'll give you opportunities to be faithful and to be used. In the same way, if you want to be used to be led to people, if you got to first say, Lord, I'll be willing to do it. He'll bring people in your path. But you better be ready then to do it. Don't sign up for it if you're not serious, but we ought to be serious about it. Amen. Amen. Ask Him to send someone to you or you to them. Praise God. Number three, this will help you. Because you think, man, I don't know what to say. I didn't go to Bible school. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Number one, keep it simple. Your life ought to look like Jesus. You know how it's a lot easier to be a soul winner when you look like the love of God? When you're walking in victory, when you're walking in power, when you're not, when things go bad at work and you're still positive and encouraging, when things go bad with your finances, you're still upbeat, people notice that stuff. I remember when I worked for Jim and Sue in the Grapes, and I was during trimming season there. That was me trimming, by the way, when I just did that. I was trimming. I still remember. Still have nightmares about trimming. I'm just kidding. I enjoyed it, you know, just being out there with the people. But there were some people that weren't born again. And there were some things that happened. One of the things was when I got a phone call, and she had a doctor's appointment. And she was quite far along, and the doctors basically said that there's a good chance that he wasn't going to make it. It's something that had happened, you know, with her body. And I remember getting off that phone call, and the guy asked me, what was that, you know? And I said, just told him. But I said, it's going to work out. I'm not worried at all. God's told me some things about this child. It's going to work out. And I just went on listening to my music and singing and praising God in the Grapes. Well, a lot of times people get something that come across their, you know, devil will rise up and cause storms. And people's first reaction is to be fearful, to be afraid, what am I trying to say? You're the light of the world. People are watching you. People are watching you. You don't understand it. I didn't really realize it at the time. And over time, the person came to me and said, I don't understand. You are always in a good mood. No matter what happens, no matter what the weather does out here, you always put a positive spin on it. I said, what is it? I said, I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah. Reverend Randy, the same way. I said, what is with this guy? I said, why are you always like this? You're always full of joy and happiness and joking around a good time, and I'm on a roller coaster. He said, well, I'll tell you, it's Jesus. Just your life looking like power, victory, and love will be such a testament to people. But if you're a doubter all the time, you're complaining all the time, you're whining all the time, fearful all the time, griping, moaning, and complaining, mean, rude, go, yeah, you're going to be a real big soul winner, because people are going to say, yeah, I really want the Jesus they have. I didn't want the Jesus my grandma had. Now, she's in heaven, and she'll forgive me when I get there for talking bad about her. But I didn't want the Jesus my grandma had, because my grandma, I mean, oh, man, in her later years, she got nice. But she was mean, wasn't she? She was mean. I mean, mean. And yet she go to church all the time. You know what that did? That pushed me farther and farther and farther away from why. I said, I don't want that. But when somebody showed up proclaiming the name of Jesus, looking like love and generosity and kindness, praise God. But then you know what I found is when he told me about it, he just kept it simple. He had went to Bible school, but he didn't impress me with his words. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus died for your sins. He loves you so much that heaven is so simple to get to. He died for your sins on the cross, and if you believe that and receive that, heaven's yours. I know it doesn't seem like it could be that simple, but that's what the Bible says. We think we got to come up with something. No, just do what the Bible says. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. When he says preach the gospel, he doesn't mean coming to him with 3 points, an introduction, an ending. No, just preach, proclaim the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. God loves you so much. You can start to them by telling them facets of the gospel. If they're sick, hey, you know, my God, I've seen God heal my body. I've seen God heal other people. You know, if someone was just telling me recently about someone that was posting stuff on Facebook about their family and their kids going through something, a sickness, and everybody else, all the other Christians were just posting, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray for you. And that sounds good, and it's good Christian ease talk. But this person said, hey, just want you to know that God's a healer, and my church teaches about healing, and there's healing available for your children. Yes. Amen. Yes. Someone's going through financial problems. Hey, you know what? My God's a God of prosperity. Then you get talking about them. And also, more importantly, you don't have to go to hell. I mean, all these things can open the door if you'll just be willing to do it. Amen. It's just the truth. Keep it simple. Just keep it simple. The fear of failure, listen, the Bible already told us that broad is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the gate that leads to life. Already told us we're going to have people aren't going to receive it. If Jesus couldn't get 100% results, and the disciples couldn't get 100% results, why do we fret and worry and don't do it? Because we're afraid, what if they say no? What if they reject me? What if they think I'm crazy? Oh, join the club. They thought Jesus was crazy. They thought he was off his rocker. Amen. You got to be delivered from the opinion of man. All it took for me, the neatest thing for me, here I was, living in the world, doing the world's things, one call away, all that was told me was that God does not give a rip how you're living. He loves you so much, forgiveness is available and a new life's available for you. That's all he told me. That's all he said to me. I thought, my God, that's the greatest news I've ever heard. I can be forgiven and free from all this garbage and walk into a new life? Yes, you can. How? Just call on Jesus. Simple. Amen? That's all you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. Let's break down these barriers that the devil's built up. And let's be doers of the word. Amen? We ought to be... I'm still, and I could speak openly to this group on Wednesday night, you know, we ought to be bringing people here. Why aren't we? Why aren't people making it a point? Do you realize if every single one of you in here tonight, just every single one of you, not the people that aren't here that come on Sunday mornings or maybe couldn't come on tonight on Wednesday, if every single one of you would focus on getting one person to this church in 2017, do you know how much church growth we would have if just you did one person? If everybody just did one person, we would double in size every single year. But yet, let's be honest. I'm not calling certain people out and stuff. I'm not thinking of anybody specifically. We go years and years and years, never tell anybody about Jesus. Years and years and years, never bring anybody to church. Never focus in on somebody to bring to church. And we come up with a bazillion excuses why we don't do it. Just got to do the word, right? If you will say, Lord, send me to an unbeliever or an unbeliever to me that's ready to be picked, he will. Lord, put someone in my path that's a Christian that does not have a good church that needs to be fed the word of God, and I'll invite him. He will. Because he wants that. That's his will. But he needs people to be willing. Amen? Amen? But we're going to be willing, aren't we? Let's just close our eyes and worship him tonight. We bless you, Lord. I know everybody in here is born again as I look around. So right now, let's consecrate to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Now, don't say this after me, because nobody's looking around and everybody just pay attention to themselves. Don't look around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But we're going to pray a prayer of consecration out loud. Do not pray this if you don't mean it, because it's the equivalent of lying to the Lord. But we're going to repent for being spiritually dull. We're going to repent for not being doers of Mark 16 and verse 15. And then we're going to consecrate our lives to Mark 16 and verse 15. And we're going to invite the Lord. I'm telling you beforehand so you don't just blindly say something and lie to him. And then we're going to tell the Lord that we're willing. Send us unbelievers. Send us to unbelievers. Send us to baby Christians, people that don't have churches. And we're going to believe God for that. And we're going to believe that he's going to send us. And then we're going to be doers of the word. And we're going to preach the gospel and tell them the word. So everybody who wants to do the word and consecrate with heads bowed and eyes closed, say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe your word. And Father, I want what you want. And you want people to be born again. And you want people to grow once they're born again. And I know it's my job as the body of Christ to carry this out. So, Father, please forgive me for not doing Mark 16 in verse 15. I will be a doer of the word. Forgive me if I've been spiritually dull. Now, Father, I'm asking you to send someone to me or send me to somebody that doesn't know you. And I will open my mouth and tell them about you. And Father, I'm asking you to send me to somebody or somebody to me that does not have a good church, that needs a good church, and I will invite them to this one. I give you my word, Father. As you present me with opportunities, I will be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him. Father, we bless you tonight. I take that serious, Father. I take that serious, Lord. We're going to be doers of this. We're going to be soldiers and carry out the will of God on this earth. marching through the devil's territory, getting people born again, getting people into church where they get raised up, grown up, taught up, so they can go out and tear down the devil themselves. We will be faithful, Father. We will be faithful. Father, I thank you. I have such an awesome church, Lord. I believe I have doers of the word here. I believe, Father, that we have people that love people, that want to see the church, the body of Christ as a whole, grow in family and in strength. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Now, if there's anyone that was listening by live stream, now or in the future, you've never accepted Jesus, you heard me preach it tonight, all you have to do is call on his name. Well, it starts with the preacher, and I preached it. Jesus came, died, and rose again from the dead. Yes, he gives you a get-out-of-hell free card. You can be free from your past. You can, one thing that you can get excited about with salvation is healings involved with salvation. Prosperity, a sound mind. God not only wants to include you into his family to go to heaven, he wants to include you in his family so he can bless you and help you in every area of your life. So if you're listening, you've never received Jesus, you need to call on his name. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you've done that, he'll save you. You now become a part of the family. Now your next step is to get into a Bible teaching church to start hearing the word so you can grow. As you grow, you'll see blessings come into your life. As you grow, you'll be able to be used by God, and what an honor it is. So Father, we thank you for that. We praise you tonight. We say it's a new day for us. Hallelujah. Devil, you're going down. Praise God. We're going to start plucking people out of the devil's kingdom one by one. We're going to start plucking people out of babyhood stage one by one. We're going to be doers of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you beforehand for what you're going to do. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you are dismissed. Yeah.